Montgomery Bay Parks and Recreation Committee to order. Roll call, please.
Roll call has been taken, and let the record reflect that all members are present with the exception of Chair Steele.
Okay. Next item is public comments, and public comments are has the ability for the public to speak to the committee on any item that is not on the agenda. And we only have about 3 minutes time limit per person, so the public is here, and we'd like to hear what you have to say.
I'm Justine Sampson. We are concerned homeowners and residents of the Cornell Park area of the neighborhood, and we are not ready to tell you that we dislike pickleball. Rather, we want to voice our concerns and encourage a dialogue whereby a resolution beneficial to all parties can be reached. Unregulated use of the existing pickleball court creates elevated noise levels that disturb the quiet enjoyment and peaceful use of our surrounding properties. For instance, it is not uncommon for a game of pickleball to commence as early as 7 a.m. any day of the week and continue until 7 p.m. There has been a lack of input from the CSD and Parks and Recreation. When the original court was proposed and approved, neither CSD nor Parks and Recreation ever came to the homeowners and asked us for dialogue, comments, or input into the plan. The sounds permeate from the courts and disrupt the quiet enjoyment of residents, and nothing has ever been put into place for noise control. Creating a fencing with a sound barrier padding that can keep the sound inside the court so the sound is not escaping outward, as so some homes back directed to the courts would be so helpful. The definition of quiet enjoyment is a covenant usually inserted in leases and conveyances as part of a grantor promising the tenant or grantee shall enjoy the possession of premises in peace without disturbances. We feel as homeowners and tenants that we are not able to enjoy our quiet enjoyment at this time, and we would really love to resolve some sort of issue to this. There have been no established or reasonable set hours, including holiday times, for the people players to enjoy times. When the original pickleball court was approved by the CSD, there was an established start at 9 a.m. We don't know what happened with this. Entertaining and pickleball do not go hand in hand, and there need to be peaceful times when families and guests can be entertained without the loud sounds of pickleball. On occasion, there is no availability for guests or of the residents on Willow Lake to park their own vehicles at any time of the day. The Parks and Recreation nor the CSD replied to an email that was a letter by concerned residents submitted with questions on September 13, 2017. Many of us have lived upward of 20 years before the pickleball was ever here, and to take away a second court would be simply unfair. We moved to Cornell Park area of Discovery Bay specifically for the amenities that were offered. There is no reason to build a second court and to lose the amenity of the tennis court that we and our families have grown to love. This is not about winning or losing for either side. This is about coming up with a solution. This is about making it work for everybody. We're a community, we all matter, and we are all affected, and we all need to be heard. We, the surrounding neighbors, feel that the games can be played just fine as is with temporary nets when needed, and leave the tennis court as is. We want to come up with structured hours and days that work for everybody, and we want sound controls. We want to work together. Sincerely, the residents of the Cornell Park.
Thank you.
Conducted a written poll of the residents in the vicinity. vicinity of the courts, and there is an overwhelming majority that are against the destruction of the final tennis court. How did the first court get approved it anyway? We purchased our home over 18 years ago because we had walking access to the park and all of its amenities. Since then, the top lot was destroyed when my boys were toddlers and never replaced. The playground was destroyed and it took a year to get it back. The swings were removed when my son was learning how to swing and they were never replaced. And now he and a neighbor play tennis a few times a week and that's going to be taken away too. We didn't get a dog parking court on park because a few of the neighbors thought the noise would be too loud. Fine, it's their backyard, that's totally fair. We didn't get a skate park in the basketball court of the community center because that's too close to the neighbors and the sound would annoy them. Understood, that's their backyard, that's fair. So why didn't anyone care that the pickleball would be too loud for my backyard? The conversion of these courts is absolutely unnecessary. The pickleballers already take lines and bring temporary nets in for their tournaments, so we can all share the court and we can all enjoy it. Don't destroy it. And no lights. The noise pollution is bad enough. Lights would just add to the duration of this noise pollution and invade the surrounding neighbors' backyards. Light will devalue my property, period. And it will also invade my daughter's privacy. If I sell or rent that house right now, I already have to disclose the nuisance noise of the pickleball. And if the lights are added, I'll have to disclose that as well. Pickleball currently starts about 7:30 in the morning at the latest, and the leaf blower to clear the court starts at 7. My daughter starts work at 10, so it really annoys her. So please, don't ever consider lighting those courts, and please reverse your opinion on converting those courts to pickleball. The packet I have for you today includes a view of my daughter's bedroom door as seen from pickleball courts. It also includes a map of how far away pickleball can actually be heard. It's a hard surface, not a soft surface, on a soft surface like the tennis court. So it really can be heard quite far away. And also a poll by all of the local residents and homeowners that live in the vicinity of the pickleball court. And also a copy of this statement. So please, do not even consider lighting the courts, and please reverse your opinion or your decision to convert the last tennis court into the pickleball.
Okay. Thank you for your input. As I mentioned earlier, I'm going to pass this over to Matt, who's the recreation manager. My suggestion would be to get his card and give him a call, and you guys can set up an appointment with him to discuss this in more detail. See if he could work something, you know, whatever. And then at whatever the appropriate time, if you let Matt know, that he can ensure that he can get back on our committee for further discussion.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
And so is that the first step is
yeah.
Setting a time
with
him and then
yeah. 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 Work with staff and the lead working with pickleball people you can put together. And we'll see what happens.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, it'd be nice to work with both sides, not just one side.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay. With that, we're gonna move on to draft minutes. Our last April 18th meeting, do I hear a motion to approve?
I make a motion to approve the minutes.
Second, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. We're going to move on now to discussion items, starting the pool permit process. Staff.
Okay, well, got some good news on the pool. We got our health permits on June 9th, and the county building department issued our building permit on the 15th, Friday. So we're good to go September 4th.
September. Good.
And piggybacking on that, I'm going to meet with the county about the building for the enclosure for the pool equipment and get things squared away before we send that out to bid.
All right.
To make sure that we're compliant with what they want.
Okay. Well, that's the pool equipment structure.
Yeah.
All right, take care of that one. Ravenswood Park, play structure.
Ravenswood Play Structure, for a long time it's been a problem with vandalism there, and what we're looking at is putting in a structure that doesn't have a lot of walls to do graffiti on. I don't know if you guys want me to pull the neighborhood, give them some websites to look at, and let them have some input on what we want to put out there. I think one of the biggest problems with Ravenswood is they need a neighborhood watch program over there.
Jungle gym.
Yeah, it's something like that.
Small pools.
Maybe we could reach out to the P6 committee and have them possibly, because they're involved with the sheriff.
I can call
to get
Tony.
That's
what he does, and I'll ask him if he can't
try to work it.
They might want to stay apart, you know. They might. I think that's a good spot for
them. Not enough room for it, but
well, the new police station will be nice there.
Yeah. But to put together some kind of a neighborhood watch program, maybe we can sponsor it right in the park itself.
Yeah, they have a big problem with 20-somethings drinking over there all the time, and the neighbors don't call the sheriff on them. So
they don't?
They're just hanging out?
Yeah. Yeah, this is a party park. That's where we had the 80 porta potty burn down.
Oh.
And burned it to the ground.
Well, I think we get the sheriff's department involved and try to get a neighborhood watch. So along with that process.
Yeah, because there's probably 15 to 20 homes that look directly at the park. You can see all the way through.
Somebody's got to be home at some point.
Yeah, and I'm sure some of their cameras are, because they have no problem calling me if one of my guys is taking a break. So.
Yeah.
All
right.
Is that neighborhood gun families?
Yes. Yeah, that's where the splash pad is.
Oh, right.
It's very popular.
You know, the problem is it usually requires a homeowner there to sponsor. You know, to be the neighborhood host for the watch, which we might have to do in the park and put newsletters out and have some.
Yeah, go burn some hot dogs.
Yeah. We'll have to think of some pizza or something.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll hop on that if that's comes down a little farther down.
Yeah, because the money is coming directly out of his own mind, so it's in that best interest too.
Throw some pizzas together and some soft drinks and invite them over and have a neighborhood watch meeting right in the park, I think.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good idea. I think P6 could pay for that.
Well, I'm not sure that's in a P6 district.
Yeah.
It is?
That whole area out there is
P6. Okay.
Lakes and Lake Shore.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Check about that whole everything.
Well, maybe I'll bring the idea before P6.
Yeah, my more can help their situation. They
get a hold of Tony too.
Yeah. But anyway, the money will presumably be approved in the 2018-19 budget. There's plenty of money to remove and replace it.
Okay. Discovery Bay front entrance.
Front entrance. Okay, we have preliminary prices for the masonry and painting. I've got an RFP that's already geared towards that part of the project. I don't know if you guys want to go ahead and get the RFP going for the repairs and the painting, and then do the landscaping and lighting on a separate plan.
Well, we need
because we don't really have a light plan.
Correct. I think the design company submitted a manufacturer something.
And they have preferred contractors that are on the DIR list too. But we don't have a design, so I'm reaching out to the manufacturer to see if we can get some type of design.
No, it might be beneficial if we reach out to the design company that submitted that. They do that.
A landscape architect?
Yeah, and even if they couldn't, they mean they've done the preliminary plan or whatever, and that was nice of them. I don't know
how much
of that we could use, but even if they charge us a little bit to do a lighting plan, I think the idea when I think we were out there, the lighting locations, there's lights there now. I don't think we have to redo the whole
thing. Yeah,
we need to.
We need to start over.
Lay it out in your mind?
Yeah, you need to start from scratch. What's there is a big problem.
Yeah,
because of the product, so.
Age, age, and you know, it's just, it's old equipment. That's one of our biggest problems in this community is aging.
Okay.
Not the people.
Right. Yeah,
the equipment.
I was gonna say, hey.
Well, I would think before we start anything, we should have all the pieces in place so that once it starts, we can kind of roll through.
Okay.
That's all we can do is go out there and make it look nice and pretty, and then we all go away. And because of the work they did, they smashed this bush and smashed that bush. And now the residents are all upset because we're not fixing it.
Yeah, there will be damage. Because
yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
But if we follow that right back up with the replanting.
So you want to bid it out as one total package then?
I don't know. I don't think you need to have one company do the whole thing. The price would be crazy. Mm-hmm. I think if we have a company that specializes in stucco and painting work, that's mm-hmm. fine.
I mean, the landscaping and lighting?
Yeah, the landscape and lighting guys.
Okay.
Make it happen.
Okay. So we'll go forward with two RFPs at the same time.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll get our lighting design together.
Yeah, but I would reach out to them. They might be able to refer you to somebody, or they may volunteer.
Yeah, that's why I reached out to the manufacturer, too. I'm hoping that they can give me some.
Well, they'll give you some guys that sell the stuff.
No, they're actually installers. They have preferred installers.
Correct, but they're going to know where to install it. Mm-hmm. That's the plan.
Yeah. We'll massage this. Yeah. We'll massage it through.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
Keep it on. Keep it moving forward. That's the...
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, Greenplay update.
Okay, so pass that around if you take one. Okay, it's all around. All right, so if you recall, we did the Greenplay Phase 1, which talked about the different funding sources, if you recall. The board workshop, we had 100 different ways that Parks and Rec fund themselves throughout the country. And so what I did was, based on the results of the report that came back from Greenplay, what I did then was basically put this together in kind of a draft action plan. So if you kind of flip to page 3, it talks about these are funding sources that are currently being used or could easily be used by the time of Discovery Day to create existing budgets and stuff for capital operations. So as an example, property tax, Zone A appropriations, that's one we identified. And what I tried to do then was, underneath it, currently what we're doing as it relates to that category that we picked, and then propose, if there is one, would be underneath. So for instance, right now, property tax, Zone 8 appropriations, basically we steal from Brian to make this work. We do have revenue that comes in that helps offset and goes back. Right now, staff is currently working on a letter to consulting on various options for the current zone funding stuff.
And let me interject right in there. A letter has been sent to our zone consultants. They've had it for about a week. And I know that it's been assigned to someone in the agency there, so I'm hoping that we'll get some kind of answer in the next week or two.
All right. And that goes along that line of, can we, if we consolidated everything, how...
Oh, what I left it to, yes, it does, but I left it more open. I left it to them. What I did is explained our situation with all of our zones and explained to them our challenges and told them that we are looking for a strategy to maximize, you know, our revenue into these zones and to be able to maintain them all. And that includes a consideration of consolidation or giving back some or all or part or whatever the strategy are. But that's what we're looking for. And that we would, if they felt they could help us, we would engage their services.
So anyway, that's kind of an example. A second example, if you went down where it says registration fees, partway down the page, again, it talks about that as being a revenue source for participants in programs, activities, and classes. So then I put underneath that current, and currently that's our largest category for revenue generation. All of our contractors that are in our classes are a 75-25 split. So the instructor takes 20, 75, we take 25, and again, that's what we do. We're not proposing any changes to that, but if we were, I'd put that in there.
So essentially, if you go through the document, that's what I've done. In areas where it's listed and it's like, here's something we're already doing, I listed it, and if there was any proposals. It's a living document, so it helps us kind of start fleshing out that work that we've done. So it's not just, well, we did that work, what does it mean? Well, here's some examples of things that it means. If you go to page 6, for instance, stuff that the town could definitely consider. It does talk about ticket sales, admissions, conservation funds, corporate sponsorships. They're all listed. Right now there isn't anything we do, but what it does is it creates an action plan for us to go, okay, as we're going along through our day-to-day stuff, if we come up with something going, hey, land, water, and conservation fund, that's going to come into play. We have a kind of a contractor off to the side right now, but if we do come up something, I can plug it right in there. So that way I'm kind of working my way through the list. And the last part, which is on page 8, it talks about stuff that we might consider in the future. So the first one, gift catalogs, opportunities for the community to look in a catalog and go, hey, you know, we don't have a program like that now, but if we were to put one together, somebody might come in and go, hey, I'd like to put some benches in my park over at Cornell Park, or I'd like to do this. We'd have a catalog that says, here's what a bench looks like, here's how much it costs, and here's what you need to do to make that work. So I've kind of taken everything that we've done thus far and started to put it together. Here's the things I'm going to focus on those various areas. There's plenty to keep us busy for years in here. I'm not going to get to everything, honestly, right off the bat. But as I find stuff and I read about stuff and I go, that's a great idea, I can insert it. And we have a nice paper trail that says, we did this, here's what we determined, here's what we're doing that actually relates to the topic we talked about. Any questions on that?
No, sounds like you've taken input that has been given and
yes,
organized it somehow. We just need to get money.
Yep, and so now I'm starting to figure out here's what we can do in these categories that will meet that criteria that we talked about.
How does corporate sponsorship play in government? How's the conflicts? Is there a conflict to rent? I mean, I know it's done, but...
Well, it becomes a legal question for legal...
Yeah. Figuring out all those contracts. Like, so if you want to call this the change the name to the
Veolia Water Park, right?
Or exactly. There would be criteria, lawyers would be involved, those kinds of things. Mike and I had briefly talked about, well, maybe the club across the street would be interested in taking over the tennis courts. Well, that could be a corporate sponsorship. A lot of details in trying to figure that all out, how it might work, but it could be an option, something to add to our list of, hey, we have identified that as a possibility. Here's an item. We can research it. It may not pan out. It may pan out. But at least we have a roadmap of where we're going, and we're not just randomly grabbing things left and right.
Great.
Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you. It looks good. So it's a living document. It's a draft. Just keep growing. Hold on.
Okay. Pause. Pond parade.
Dog park, yay. Okay, again, what I wanted to do is we'll do stuff here, and I think it's important that we're documenting what we're doing so in the future we can go back and go, here's all the things we were doing, here's where we applied it, versus trying to find some notes somewhere in an obscure folder. So what I did was this year's Paws on Parade, it was a little over 4,000, like 4,300 bucks that the town was able to secure. Brian and I sat down and we figured that going forward, 50% of anything we raise on this particular event should go for maintenance kinds of things, capital improvements that Brian wants to do in the park, and the other 50% could go to fun stuff for the dogs. Or people, because I think it's important that people actually see where money went. As you know, when you rebuild a house, you know, 75% of it could be in the walls and nobody ever sees it. Well, we still have to do that to keep the park safe and viable. So my proposal was then 50% of each year's, assuming this thing is going to continue to go for years coming. And this is one of those things that kind of fits in the donation stuff that we're talking about, that we kind of list out what we're working on. So Brian can give you the details, but basically he's got $2,000 installation of the new sprinklers. So I don't know, Brian, did you want to share what exactly you mean by sprinklers, what you're going to spend your $2,000 on?
Yeah, we started already on our park, removing the old canister sprinklers that aren't covering real good and converting over to brand new rotors that cover better. And they're safer for the dogs. They have rubber caps versus a plastic cap that gets broken a lot, either from us on our equipment or from heavy usage of the parks. So we're going to do a little bit pet-friendly irrigation pad and getting better coverage of it.
Well, there's sprinklers inside the fenced-off area for the dogs.
I would say about 60% of it is irrigated.
Yeah.
The upper hill is not irrigated, so there's
On these lists, I don't know if you're aware of it, but the entrance gets flooded and muddy, and that was the number one concern that everybody had at the pause and parade, was that the entrance doesn't have gravel or drainage poppers, so that when people come in there, they get their shoes.
It probably needs a concrete pad, because that's a shaded area all the time.
Well, yeah, or 4 inches of pea gravel on a French drain. But I don't know what the solution is. I just know that the entrance road is the biggest concern for the dog users right now, going to the large dog park that is muddy and flooded. And they're asking, and I'm bringing them now because I didn't get a hold of you sooner. They've asked to either put some sort of a gravel fill on that or some sort of a pad or a fake false grass or the synthetic grass so we don't have a wet spot getting into our facility. I don't know if it's drainage, or maybe it was a bad sprinkler head. I don't know yet.
Well, the part of it is all the sprinklers run together out there, so you're irrigating shady spots along with sunny spots. So, and that entrance there is always shaded.
That's probably the number
yeah,
one.
Yeah, you have the big sycamore tree there.
One way to possibly do a temporary fix would be just get some crushed granite and just put it in there and mount it.
We actually put rubber mats in that are more dog friendly to get in.
Right, but if they're still all wet, what if they put some crushed granite and then put the mats on top of the crushed granite?
Yeah,
that'll get the mud out.
But this is a very great plan on how you guys want to spend the money. I just want to give you a heads up. There's one other issue that's a big issue.
Right. And again, we're creating a document that we can add to it, and hopefully the next categories underneath, besides our long-term and maintenance priorities, which obviously, just $2,000 aren't going to cover this time. But hopefully then after that, we'll have a third column, which is stuff that we finished. So we can just keep adding to this all the time. Okay, this is what we're working on this year. This is what we still want to work on, and here's what we finished. So then dropping down to mine, again, I've got a book that goes with it, and you can go crazy for all the stuff for dogs in there. And it's a matter of which item do I want to pick of the $2,000 I have. My thought was the first time around is, especially since we have large dog and small dog, I don't want to be accused of preference one or the other. So I figure anytime I do something, I'm going to probably do it in pairs. So the small dogs will get the same thing, kind of like your kids. You don't want to give one the good car and one the bad car. So again, wanting to make it visible, I've chosen the double hoop jump, where we can put the Town of Discovery Bay and we can put the Lions Club on the rings. So that way it shows that, hey, they walk out, they can see we've got some maintenance going on, and they can also see the names of organizations that have been involved. So I thought we'd start with a couple of hoops on each side and see what happens. And you're looking at, you can see the price on that, $790 a piece, plus we'll have to install it too. So I'm pretty much burned through my $2,000 on the first round. But again, that's what I'm looking at the first time. The long-time improvements, I don't have any priorities at this point in time. And then hopefully next year, we'll have a category that says projects we've completed.
Is there a way we get like a sewer pipe out there, a sewer pipes that are concrete for the dogs to go through?
They have a lot of really cool
stuff.
They
already have them. They already have sewer pipes. Yeah. They already own sewer pipes that are damaged. Can we use those for for amenities?
I'm thinking you probably want to stick with stuff that's dog park approved so we don't get hurt dogs. I know when I was reading through the materials and stuff, there's like a whole industry based on dogs' paws and heads and everything else. So. But yeah, with $2,000, it's like this one will be the most visible. But yeah, there are tubes and there are ramps and there are teeter totters and just the book goes on and on.
Okay.
I mean, if I had $10,000, I'd have a blast. Our dogs would be the most fit dogs in the entire county.
It's the last couple years.
Well, the stuff I'm looking at is commercial grade, so it should last for
a long time.
What is those hoops made of?
I'd have to pull a catalog again and see. I want to say it's probably metal piping, and I think it was some heavy-duty fiberglass. I don't have my folder with me, but
it's... Yeah, the only reason I'm thinking money, and I'm thinking that would be a great Eagle Scout project. Take some marine-grade plywood, cut those hoops, and stencil on the same thing, take some pipe and put it on there. No cost.
Yeah, the problem with that is that if the dog gets hurt, it was some homemade project versus something that was specifically designed for the dog, and then therefore we're negligent because we didn't, you know, this is the things you got to worry about, unfortunately.
And it's going to risk.
Right. It's not going to survive. But yeah, this particular company, that's all they do. They specialize in dog stuff.
You always gotta worry about it.
Gotta protect our dogs.
So as far as the Paws on Parade event, the town was supportive of it. That it had tons of people show up. Do you think that the town would allow that to happen again?
At this point, I anticipate, Marianne being involved with it, I'm sure it's going to be going on from here on out until somebody, she moves on and nobody wants to take over, just like the summer jam.
So, you know, some of these things. To raise money is, does the town do a black and white ball?
Thing like this, you have a black and white ball
to raise money for the community center. Then you have, you know, some high auction items and things like that. Here at the yacht club or something like that.
See, and the neat thing by having a gift catalog, then you could have some pricey items in there so when people do raise money, they could go, we want to get this, 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 and this, and there are things we're ready to rock and roll with. So.
Good idea.
So that's all my things.
Okay. Future agenda. Do you have a future agenda?
I think we need to discuss the roadway medians in this town because the current law is that you cannot water turf in a roadway median. And we need to talk about ideas or things that we can do to deal with this issue because our lawns are turning brown and it's illegal for us to water. So I would suggest we bring back a talk or on roadway
meetings.
That's
probably Discovery Boulevard and a couple of side streets. If it's gone brown, they didn't come back.
Don't get the water. Okay, with that, I guess.